All right, so we'll call this Historic City of Unalaska, Alaska Historic Preservation Meeting, regular meeting of Thursday, March 20th, 2025 at 6:03 p.m. And call this to order and do a roll call.
Hey, Vicky, where's that going? Yeah, I
know it can be
kind of a pain, so thanks for calling in. We're just going through a roll call right now.
Okay, so let's do roll call.
Okay. Fernley, Brown?
Here.
Marquez?
Here.
Bagley?
Here.
Hatfield?
Here.
Williams?
Here.
Okay. Dean is here. Hamka absent. Okay, you have a quorum.
Okay, is there any revisions to the agenda?
No.
Okay, and I don't know if there's any appearance requests.
There are none.
Announcements?
Yeah, we just have one. It is in your packet. You might recall earlier this year, talking about the Unalaska Taxiway and Apron Rehab Project, some of the improvements at the airport. We just received a finding of no effect from FAA about that, so that's included in your packet for your reference.
Okay.
Yeah, they consulted with the museum on this as well, so I got to look at it, and I think they're making modifications that won't impact very much of the historic buildings that are around there or the prior archaeological sites that are prehistoric. So it seemed like they did a great job and interesting background review, and I'm looking forward to those changes.
This is, I guess, along the same lines, but I know that when we talked in January that there was, I don't remember exactly what it was at this current juncture in time, but I know that we talked about bringing some different things to look at, I think, for some of the different improvements around town. And was it a budget? I think we were talking about a budget at the time. Like, we thought it would be a good idea to talk about what we could do, but I don't think that we had any idea what process we needed to go through as far as first we need a budget, and then we need to, you know, look and see what I guess could be included in that. I know part of that city council and doesn't have as much to do with us because it's got to get approved through them, but what are the steps that we needed to do?
So HPC can certainly make recommendations, and I think if I recall from the last meeting, you're asking about some of the goals that were set out in our last comprehensive plan. So we included that in it's gigantic, so I didn't include the whole plan in the packet, sure. But it was included in the email to you guys. And I can go through some of the historic preservation goals and like actions that suggested we take. I don't really have a, you know, suggestion for you for that. It's more to start a discussion of, you know, what you guys want the commission to be doing.
Right.
Because you know, last few years it's been pretty focused on sort of this, the, like, if there's a historic of, you know, resource being affected by some construction, but there's a lot of other activities the HPC can get into,
sure.
Either nominating buildings to a local historic registry, working on like historic interpretation projects like signs around town, or other things that recognize our history as a community.
Right.
And actually, I probably should have brought it up as an announcement, but one, we're looking at a program that administered through the National Park Service. To each state has it can nominate a World War II heritage city. There's one for every state. We're they're open for applications right now. Alaska does not have one yet, so we're looking at, you know, putting forward on Alaska as the community for that. And that would definitely be something that we'd be working with the HPC on, because it sort of goes along with recognizing like World War II history here.
I would say that it just, to me, it seems like we're part of this Historic Preservation Commission and the HPC, and unless we like decide we want to do something, it's kind of a stagnant operation, like nothing really gets done. And so I feel like if we're going to do this, we might as well do something with it and not just meet once a year and be like, okay, well, doing the same thing we did last year, which is not really anything. We're just saying that it's all okay. And
I wonder if maybe we could budget time each historic preservation meeting for like as a work session, and we could talk about some options. Maybe we could, is that something we could do?
Yeah, we can definitely do that. And if you'd like, I can go through some of the goals that the comprehensive plan suggested. And if any like jump out at you as something you'd like to work on, we could, you know, follow up with that at a later meeting.
Yeah, that sounds good. I do really like that following up on the World War II Heritage City. I mean, there's no one else in Alaska that even comes close to, I mean, maybe ADAC or ATCA, but not like us, you know? And so I feel like that's a good place to start with moving in some direction.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's a really neat concept. And we're the only place that was bombed during World War II that was American soil. So it seems super significant. It seems like we would be the best candidate for that designation.
I would think. I would hope so. I mean, I think we've got, yeah, I think we would have a strong application for that. And there's no, that program doesn't have any money attached to it. It's more of just a distinction to recognize. But I'd also imagine, you know, probably really beneficial for tourism here.
Sure.
Any time we're looking for future historic preservation funding, being able to say that, look at, you know, how we're recognizing our World War II history here. So I think there'll be benefits down the road.
Well, that, and sometimes it's not like the big things that matter the most. Sometimes it's the little things that are really important to just like local people. So I feel like you could do something like this and it would actually mean a lot, you know. So anyways, what else have you got over there that was related?
Yeah, so I'd say if you guys sound like you're in support of that, expect next meeting we can put forth a resolution of the HPC supporting, and it can get into a little, once you've developed an application, get into a little more detail about that.
Sure.
As far as historic preservation activities from the comprehensive plan, there's a couple areas that it goes into. Part of it is revitalizing downtown. And that's, you know, kind of goes beyond historic preservation, but a lot of that is historic related, of like enhancing the historic structures there, especially the Russian Orthodox Church and Bishop's House. And I know some of that is already happened. A lot of that has already happened. This plan is 15 years old at this point. And then things like installing historic markers there. There's a specific section just for preserving history. And I'll see if I can pull this up. Yeah. And that goes through a bunch of actions that the HPC could be involved in or take the lead on. So identifying historic sites for National Register nomination, that is kind of a main task for a local historic preservation commission. In addition to the National Historic Registry, we also have an Unalaska Historic Registry that we can put forward nominations of buildings or areas that you'd like to recognize locally. We don't have a like local historic preservation ordinance like some communities do that would put like restrictions on those properties. It's more of a, like, we're providing a distinction for these places. And again, placing like interpretive markers, so signage, walking and driving tours. We've talked a bit about that before here. And just advocating for the preservation and adaptive reuse of historic buildings. There's another section that's specifically talks about the Museum of the Aleutians. And I suspect this is pretty out of date because they're referencing your strategic plan from 2008 to 2012. But it does go into some of the, you know, things you work on at the museum there, Jenny. And then the last one is one that we've actually been pretty involved in over the last decade of cleaning up World War II non-historic waste. So that specifically recommends creating a consortium to address FUDs, or formerly used defense sites, and then looking for federal assistance for non-historic World War II waste removal. And you probably remember talking about some of that on Bunker Hill earlier this year. But that's been an area the city's been pretty involved, along with OC and the tribe, in cleaning up and dealing with some of the non-historic World War II waste. We have for the FUDS program, we have a restoration advisory board that's a bunch of, you know, representatives from the community working with the Army Corps to give guidance on how they should be cleaning up some of the left behind World War II stuff. They actually just met last Tuesday. They meet regularly. And we are, between us, OC, and the tribe, we're all working on various brownfields cleanup grants and assessment grants that are mostly dealing with contamination that's a remnant of World War II.
On the brownfield study that the city has, have you guys heard anything with the current administration, impacts to EPA or these studies?
Not specifically that's affecting this one. My understanding from talking to our project folks at EPA is that the funding for the particular program that we are working under is secure right now. So we're proceeding. In May, there'll be a contractor out here to do aerial surveys of Pyramid Valley, Strawberry Hill, and Unalaska Lake, and they'll also be doing some work at the same time for OC to kind of narrow down the areas that have been contaminated more. Like, we've done a general assessments of those areas, but then now we're going on to the next step of mapping them out more specifically and figuring out, you know, exact points of contamination.
Unalaska Lake, you're meaning my Methodist church?
Yeah. Yeah, or Iliuliak Lake.
Next to my house.
Yeah, yeah, the big one.
Oh, what's in there?
We're trying to figure that out. There's a lot of stories. I mean, you've probably heard a bunch of, we've heard stories of, like, people leaving vehicles on the ice and just letting it melt so they go to the bottom of the lake, or, you know, other dumping that happened there. So they'll be doing bathymetric surveys, mapping the bottom of the lake. That should hopefully give us more of a clue of, you know, what, if anything, is down there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I can't wait to find out. So,
yeah. Okay, is there anything else anybody's got in that? I don't really know exactly where we're at right now. I think we were in announcements, and then we were talking about draft minutes.
Yep, we did get off the agenda, didn't we? Yeah, sorry about that.
No, it's all right.
Bled it into the work session.
I mean, that's kind of why we're here, is more or less, I mean, I realize it's a formality with all this stuff, but in reality, why we're here is just to have a conversation about things, right? So, do we need to approve, or how does that work, the draft minutes from January?
I move to approve the minutes from the January 2023-2025 meeting.
I'll second that.
It was that Marquez seconding?
Yeah.
Okay.
And then I guess typically, we ask if anybody has any questions.
Well, yeah, so now we have the public hearing area, and if there's anything that any of the public wants to bring up for, it looks like everyone in the audience, no one has their hands up right now. So I'd say we're good on that. Old business. I feel like kind of covered old business in our last conversation.
Yeah.
And then new business. Is there anything new that anybody, or that we've got?
No, I would just say you're supportive of that World War II Heritage City designation. Expect to be talking about that next month. And we can pass a resolution in support of that.
Okay. So we just move on to the work session then?
Yeah, and that's kind of what we were covering with the comprehensive plan. So
right.
Sorry, we.
No, it's all right. I'm just
into one discussion.
It's fine. So now what? Do we move?
So you can move to adjourn, or I was bringing up the comprehensive plan sort of as a discussion starter. If there's any of those areas that the HPC would particularly like to focus on, we can do more work and bring those items to you. Like if you wanted to start looking at historic properties to nominate to a local registry or prepare them to put on national registry, any of the other topics on here, if anything looked interesting to the HPC that we could do more with.
I would say that the Heritage City application, that's a good place to start. I think that, in my opinion, is important. I'm not sure how anyone else feels. I do feel like, we could talk about revitalizing downtown, too. That could be brought up some. I feel like, we could always use a little help in that area. So, anybody else got anything?
Yeah, I'm looking forward to working on some of these. I've been wanting the Henry Swanson House to have maybe a little window display and I think it already has a sign out front. But maybe a little bit more information about who he was and what he did. And then I know it's being used for something right now, but we could put in a little window exhibit that has something like historic, maybe.
Right.
I thought that'd be cool. And then it's just something people could walk up to. But there's a lot of resources that on this island that would be really good to care for.
Yeah, I just wanted to add too, I do think that the World War II Heritage City thing would be a great place to start, and then I think that would be a great way to just segue into kind of just revitalizing downtown as a historic area, and then hopefully that would lead us to hopefully adding more commercial businesses down in that area and bringing that area back to life too. Because I think that every great city does need a significant hustling-bustling downtown, and that's just something that we've kind of gone away from in the last couple decades. So seeing that place come back to life would be really cool.
When I was showing our prospective planner candidate around and said, oh, this is our downtown area, it's like, this is downtown? Because it's not the size so much. It's just like you hear downtown and you expect a lot of commercial businesses and places people are going to go. It's basically a residential neighborhood for us at this point. But a lot of those properties are still zoned commercial, so there's potential to, do more there.
Okay, well, if that's all regarding that, then I guess I would make a move to adjourn. A motion?
Second.
A motion by Bagley and seconded by Marquez.
Time is 6:23, March 20th.
Yeah, of course. We still got the Planning Commission, Vicky. Can you stand for a bit more?
Thank you.
Oh, okay. Yep. Yep.
Okay. All right, so we'll bring this Planning Commission and Platting Board regular meeting to begin here Thursday, March 20th at 6:24 p.m. We could do a roll call.
Certainly. Williams? Vicki, are you there?
Oh, here.
Yep, okay, thank you. Marquez?
Here.
Bagley?
Here.
Hatfield?
Here.
Brown?
Here.
Okay, you have a quorum.
All right. Is there any revisions to the agenda?
Yeah, staff have none. As in, none from me.
Okay, so then we should probably do our election. I would make a motion for Virginia Hatfield to be chair.
I would second that motion if she accepts it.
I'll accept it. I'll nominate Bagley as vice chair.
That's fine.
Was that too quick?
No, you just need a second. Just need a second on the. Okay. So, Hatfield and Brown, would you like to do a roll call vote on the on both those nominations? Would you like to do a roll call vote on both the nominations?
Oh, yeah.
Put together. Yeah. Okay. So Williams, Vicki.
Yes.
Okay. Brown?
Yes.
Marquez?
Yes.
Bagley?
Yes.
And Hatfield?
Yes.
Okay. So, Ginny, you are the new chair. If you'd like to take over chairing this one.
Yeah,
scoot
down
and you can go. That's so rude. Okay.
Thank you very much. Appearance requests. They appear to be no appearance requests. Are there any
online? No, not online.
Are there any announcements?
Yeah, I'll just say we had a good visit with Daniel, our associate planner candidate, and we hope he decides to come out here.
Yeah, excellent. That's great. Did you interview any other candidates?
I mean, not in person. He's the only one we brought out.
Okay. Anybody else have any questions? So I'll hear a motion to approve the minutes. Yes.
I'd like to file a motion to adopt the minutes from the January 23rd, 2025 meeting.
Hearing no objections, we'll accept the minutes. Mm-hmm. Okay, so there's no public hearing. I see. There's no old business. Correct. No new business. So we'll just move into the work session and talk about the draft FY26-35 capital and major maintenance plan.
Okay, so you probably remember talking about the CMMP about a few months ago. That was the last one that was approved by City Council. This is the draft for this coming year that hasn't been approved by City Council, and we bring this before the Planning Commission every year to get your feedback and comments on it so that we can work those into the plan. I'm not going to go through all of it. There's a lot of projects on it. I'll just go through some of the kind of big changes. And most of those have happened on electric projects. I'd say generally for the CMMP this year, we're trying to focus on maintaining existing infrastructure and improving reliability where we can. So I think you see that in a lot of the electric projects. Some of the New ones, like the engine control upgrades, like that's focused on improving reliability of the gensets at the powerhouse by improving the control systems there. And that's a project that's being partially supported by a grant. Well, we hope it's being partially supported by a grant. It's obviously everything's a bit wonky right now. But we've been working with OC on that. They receive a formula grant for that every year, and they've decided to subaward that to us. So that'll be a multi-year project, improving the electronic systems that are controlling the engines. We've also added kind of a multi-part project called Subtransmission Upgrades, and this is looking at electric infrastructure all over town, improving the reliability of how we transport power, and also improving the capacity of our distribution system so that we can bring, you know, if we choose to, we can bring on new generation sources, whether that's wind or solar, geothermal, or another diesel plant. Like, it's, we need to upgrade the distribution system to make any of that happen. But one of the, you know, areas we are looking at adding in generation is wind energy. So this is one that's been pretty well studied in the city so far. We've had a number of assessments looking at wind energy, and the last one narrowed it down to Pyramid Valley as the most feasible spot to add wind turbines. So we are in the process of applying for a grant that would purchase 5 megawatts of wind, so 5 single megawatt towers to be placed up in Pyramid Valley near the water treatment plant. Those would be backed up by a battery energy storage system. So the wind's not blowing all the time. You need some sort of buffer there to integrate into the grid. So we'd be adding that. Now, we've had a separate energy storage system on the CMMP for years now, and I think we've talked about it, that that's needed to improve reliability for all the heavy industrial loads that we have that are changing too rapidly for the power plant to keep up with. If we receive this grant, that would make that separate project redundant. It would just be worked into this wind energy project and solve both those problems. If we don't receive this grant, though, we would continue with our own energy storage system project to help with those, mostly with those crane loads and overall reliability. That one is the, you know, bulk of the projects that we're looking at in FY26. It's in total, that grant is a $32 million project. There would be about a $6.5 million city match if we were awarded that. City Council did, you know, authorize that at one of their meetings a month ago. And it'd be a $26 million grant if we received it. So definitely not a sure thing, but it's, I think, the area of new power generation that we understand the best at this point. Like, obviously, we talk a lot about geothermal and are still looking into geothermal and have looked at it for a long time now, but that's at best further off. The wind energy is closer to a, you know, ready-to-go sort of project. Yeah.
I have a question just about the wind energy. Has the city decided on, like, the kind of wind energy? Like, would it be rotating blades, or are we looking at the ones that don't move? They make some now that are just a single blade standing up, and it just the force of the wind is enough to generate energy. And I just wondered if you guys had looked at all the kinds of wind energy out there. But
I can't say whether they assessed those specifically. I'm betting they did. But this would be for, like, traditional turbines.
Okay.
And these are ones that I think are used in some communities on the Seward Peninsula. So they're specifically, they're really designed well for Alaska conditions. That's been a challenge for this project, of just finding turbines that would work for our weather conditions out here, for the size that we would need, and for the, like, seismic conditions that we potentially have out here from volcanoes and earthquakes. There's a lot of the turbines that are being used in the lower 48 don't stand up to that.
Don't they usually do like a study? Like, first, don't you guys, I mean, I'm not sure exactly how it works, but isn't there like a preemptive study that's done before they start looking at a project or?
Yeah, and there's, in this case, there's been a couple. So years ago, there was a, like, kind of, I'd say stage one wind energy assessment that looked at Pyramid Valley as well as a bunch of other sites around town and put up Met Towers to collect the wind data because we can mathematically model a lot of this, but it's not the same as having like actual data collection there.
Right.
And there's a lot of like nuance to wind. It has to be kind of stable and a good, like a consistent direction for it to be usable. And from that, narrowed down to Pyramid being probably the ideal spot in the community for that. And then we did a follow-up, a phase two study that just completed last year, looking more specifically at just Pyramid. And that is where we got this plan for 5 wind turbines, the battery energy storage system, all of that backing it up.
I'd be curious to see what they, because I know that there's wind turbines in Sandpoint, and I'd be, and they either don't work or don't, not that they didn't work, but like they're, I feel like they've kind of fallen into disrepair or something. And I'd be curious to see what was, what happened there that made them not decide to fix them. Or the only reason I know that I was there last year in December and I saw them and I was like, oh, that's strange. You'd think that they would want something like that operational, you know? So, I don't know.
There's been a lot of Alaska communities that I think there's a push to do a renewables because it's exciting.
Right.
Right. Without, but there's a lot of other work that has to be done to make that work in the community, to the distribution system, even to the existing like diesel powerhouses.
Right.
Like, to work with an engineer doing like rural utility work. And he would always say that the best thing you could do to put renewable power in, like most villages in Alaska, is build them a new diesel power plant because
right.
the you know, engines that are designed for shifting loads and better control systems actually allows you to integrate that. And I think a lot of places in their kind of rush to do something exciting didn't
like do all the
homework. Do all the other infrastructure that you need to make that actually work.
Which makes sense because they're diesel generated power, but it's not locally owned through the city. It's a privately owned company that owns the power plant and then sells the power back to the city. So TDX actually, that native corporation owns the power plant there. And the only reason I know that is because I went there and replumbed the powerhouse. And it was a bizarre situation. Like, I mean, it's more common in the lower 48, but out here you would think it would be more like city maintained and owned, but it wasn't. So, anyways, maybe there's a conflict there, like one hand didn't talk to the other and it didn't really work out as well as they thought, or who knows, we could speculate for days, but.
I know TDX has a subsidiary that's an energy subsidiary.
Well, they've got like three different like corporations. There's like TDX Power, there's TDX Construction, there's, you know, there's different parts of it, and we were working for TDX Power, I think.
There's also issues with bringing in renewables. You know, you get power cost equalization, or power is subsidized. That program was created when the only option was diesel in rural Alaska. So communities have to be kind of smart about how they bring in renewables so that they're not like just offsetting a subsidy that they're receiving. So there's a lot of like organizational questions to figure out with that sort of thing. I'll go briefly on some of the general fund projects. A new one is just a replacement of a fire engine. That is about $1.5 million. And there's a very long lead time on that sort of equipment right now. So that's why we're proposing getting the order in right now. Another fire project that I think we've talked before about is a fire station replacement with a, you know, built-in training facility. We're in the middle of a feasibility study for that right now that will look at different site options, design for the building, And also compare that with simply renovating the existing building. And then there's a couple PCR projects. These were all identified as needs before PCR embarked on their master plan that was just completed. So we're, for most of PCR's projects, we are going to wait. We have the recommendations back from the master plan, and those will be worked into the next CMMP after they go through a nomination process and prioritize just like any other project. But there are a couple that are on here that we just know we need. Two of them are safety-related playground improvements for the elementary school and the community center playgrounds. And then the other one is just a replacement of the skate park. So IFHS is expanding onto the skate park site. It needs to be replaced. It's unfortunately the ramps are not in good shape. We can't simply pick them up and move them.
I personally worked on those ramps.
Yeah, that's why. Yeah,
we like made big chunks of formed steel and replaced part of it, and it was in such bad shape. We were just kind of like, this problem,
wow.
The rest of these should be replaced or
building a new ramp.
Yeah, you should. I mean, it's almost a tear down. We got it to work, but yeah, I agree.
Yeah, yeah, so those will get scrapped, and we'd be putting in a new skate park. Right now, looking at the area around the tennis courts up from an Unalashka Community Park, and this is budgeted for basically a similar replacement, the same kind of like modular ramps there. But all with the addition of a pump track around it, a paved pump track at PCR Fields, you're making a face. It's a looped track with like little hills and banked corners. The idea is that by pumping, like by putting force into the, like unweighting and weighting the board or the bike or whatever you're on, you can generate momentum. So say if you're riding a bike, you don't have to pedal. You are pushing the bike and lifting it like in and out of these bumps, and it generates momentum. Anyway, they're fun. It should make the park a lot more accessible to more people. I think one of the complaints we've gotten about the skate park is it's just like sort of advanced for if you're just getting started out in one of those activities. You don't want to be going off a 6-foot ramp.
Well, that sounds really exciting. I'm glad that we'll be able to kind of bring newer parts of that kind of activity to our park system. What'd you call it? Pump?
Yeah, pump track.
Track, pump.
Yeah. And that's one that we know it needs to be replaced, but also exactly what the replacement looks like. We are looking at that in the context of like other PCR projects suggested by the master plan. So like in the same area, also looking at doing a kind of indoor field facility that would be an evacuation shelter. So we'd be working, we're working that skate park together with other projects, and that will probably be coming together more in the next year. Captain's Bay Road, let's say we were awarded a grant this last year to pave the first part of it through Westward, and the state's gonna be managing that project, and that's getting started shortly. And then there's still a lot of questions with Captain's Bay Road, but that's kind of step one of it right now. Fisherman's Memorial is proceeding. If you've been up there, they've started putting in the foundation. They stopped for the winter. And then we have a number of ports projects. There's the Bobby Storrs Small Boat Harbor Improvements project. That one's been on there for a while. To replace the floats out of Bobby Storrs that they're not in good condition right now, and make a lot of improvements there. So like adding utilities to it, adding a permanent bathroom to replace the porta potties. So like a good quality of life thing for the community. And then we have some new kind of maintenance type projects for ports as well. Fender replacements, utility upgrades out at the spit dock. And then a large project at the Unalashka Marine Center, resurfacing it and repairing it, the crane tie downs there. And we are working with Mattson on a grant for a new crane there. And the rest of these are probably projects you've seen before at some time in the past. There are different maintenance projects, mostly for utilities, that have been on the CMMP for a while, and these were all spec'd out in those utilities master plans. And we are starting to we check off certain ones every year, and these are some of the projects that are left. So I'm happy to answer any questions that you guys have, or if you have feedback about the CMMP, we'll take that back and work it in as we, our next meeting with council will be the final draft for this year.
I have no comments. Anybody? Looks good.
I think we can add it all to the next meeting.
Sure, doing a, like just a, having the final draft?
Yes.
Okay, yeah, we can do that.
Is that next
one? Yes.
I guess we are now at adjournment. Adjourn at
6:44. Adjourn at 6:44.
Okay, motion by Brown. Is there a second on that?
Second.
Okay. And Marquez.
Am I supposed to say something else?
I think, well, you can say that we're adjourned if.
We are adjourned.
Okay, thank you.